Hi, and welcome to episode number 9 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and today we're talking about sexting and how to stay out of trouble with our guest, David Sparks. Hey, and this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't want to forget them at all because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us. We love to hear from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
On this episode, we're excited to have our, well, resident geek, David Sparks, on with us to discuss all things sexting. David Sparks is an Orange County, California business attorney. But put all that aside, he's a geek. He's a podcaster, blogger, and author who writes about finding the best tools, hardware, and workflows for using Apple products to get work done. David also writes for Macworld magazine and speaks constantly about technology. His podcast is the go-to place. So now he's going to share his wit and wisdom with us. David, welcome to Her. So good to have you back on again.
Thanks, Dr. Peek. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right, let's get right down to it. Oh my God, sexting. What the heck is all of this about? You know, I was reading a research study that I shared with you showing a clear link between sexting and intimate partner violence. And this was done in Norway. And I was reading through this. And my jaw was hitting the floor multiple times. I'm just blown away by how women are not thinking about what they're doing here. They're sharing images of themselves, videos of themselves, very explicit messaging to whomever they're communicating with. And I'm appalled and freaked out, and we just need to inform them and protect them. So, David, you're the expert. Where do we begin with all this?
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you wanted to cover this topic, because everyone listening to this, I'm sure not everyone listening to this has engaged in sexting, but they may know a young woman in their life that they think may be vulnerable to this. And this is a huge problem that the young women in particular don't understand. The forms of sexting, as we were talking about, a lot of times it starts innocently enough with text messages that then get risque and then get explicit. And then it leads to people doing things like taking Snapchat pictures of themselves or taking videos. And it's just a terrible, terrible idea. Weighing in as a geek on this, the one thing I think a lot of people don't understand is they make some assumptions about this. And I think the first assumption that they make is when they do these things, that it's private. And let me tell you that it's not.
Wow. So when you say it's not, I mean, it's not private. So who's scoping this out? Is this Snowden out there, and saying that the NSA is all over this? I mean, when you say it's not private, who can access this?
If it's anything that goes over a cellular network, anybody that has a subpoena power can go to the cellular network and get copies of all the texts that were ever written. So, if you're sending text to somebody and later somebody goes and asks for that, they can get it from the cellular phone company because there's a person in the middle. There's a company that's carrying all this data for you. In addition, I guess starting at the base level, let's just talk about the guy that's asking you to do this. I mean, that's not a very good guy, to say the truth. I mean, it's not somebody you want in your life. As you said, there's studies that show people that males that engage in this conduct quite often are more likely to be violent with the women in their lives. I, in preparation for the show today, actually called a friend of mine who's a sheriff here in Orange County, California, and I asked her about sexting, and I said, what types of problems do you have in terms of, you know, sexting at the sheriff's department? She said, I'm so glad you called. She said, every day we have this problem where a woman comes in crying, saying, you know, some boy that she sent explicit picture to or texting to is now posting it somewhere on the internet, sharing it with his friends, and asking us to do something about it. And she says, there's nothing we can do. I mean, really, once you put that genie out of the bottle, you're not getting it back in. And even if that guy is saying to you, and if you've got daughters or granddaughters, please tell them. If they tell you, I promise I won't share it with anybody, there's a really good chance that their friends are sitting next to them at the moment they're writing that. To begin with, the person you think you're sharing it with isn't keeping it private. I think that's something you just have to assume. But then there's all these other people involved. Like I said, the companies have permanent records of this. You made a joke earlier about Snowden, but if you take what he said for real, and I personally think there's probably some truth to it, the government has the ability to keep records of almost every communication that happens. And maybe they've got a good reason or a bad reason. I don't think we want to argue about that today. But the fact is, there is probably a government server somewhere that is keeping track of these things. I was talking to another person in preparation for today's show, and they said, well, Snapchat's different because it's only temporary. And Snapchat's a service where you take a picture and it only exists in theory for a little while. But that's been debunked as well. In fact, my own kids can take very quick screenshots when someone sends a snapshot, then they have a permanent picture. There's just no way to do this stuff privately. So if you think you can, you're wrong.
And then if it gets plastered on social media, employers, future spouses, family, friends, you know, they'll all, you know, see and read this. And then you have to ask yourself, do you want your grandkids one day reading your sexts? Yikes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I told when my daughter first got started with Facebook, because I was hesitant because I know these kids post things on Facebook that, you know, the 10-year later version of them is going to regret. And she was 14. I said, look, anything you post on here, your grandkids will read and see. So make sure, if you're going to put a picture of yourself up here, that it's not something you would be embarrassed for your granddaughter to see. And I think it really had an impact on her.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think that what you've done is one of the smartest things on the planet, and that is you attached action and consequence. And I think that there people, especially when it comes to something that's sort of, you know, dopamine and lust associated with, you're not thinking clearly, and you're most certainly not thinking about consequences. And I think young girls who are impressionable and really want to fit in and want to, you know, please some guy aren't thinking about any of this, but they better hear us loud and clear right now, because it's permanent out there. And the recipient has a record. The phone company has a record. Hell, Snowden probably has a record in the NSA. And really, at the end of the day, this could have serious impact on your future. What is the issue with encryption? Does that help us at all?
Well, you know, companies are trying to do better. Apple, for instance, has what they call end-to-end encryption on their messaging service. And the idea for them is, you know, they're a company that is rooted in kind of this history of privacy. They're very much in protecting their users' privacy. So they try to build their whole system. So if someone showed up with a subpoena and said, I want to see your records, they would say, we can't show them to you because we don't have access to them. So Apple, on their messaging service, has essentially cut themselves out of the loop. They've done a type of encryption where they can't see what happens. But that gives a false sense of security. I don't want people thinking that gives them permission to do sexting and Snapchat photos and things like that, because that's the exception. Most companies don't have this type of end-to-end encryption. In fact, most companies are looking to collect data from this information, and that's how they make money. So it's just not that helpful. But it is something people will tell you, that it's okay to do sexting because it's encrypted and nobody will see it except me. That's just not true, you know, and that gets back to the fundamental problem that there's two parties to that. And, you know, if the relationship ends one day, screenshots of whatever you write are going to be passed around to their friends. And hopefully that's all they do with it, because, you know, it gets worse as it gets put on the internet. Once it's on the internet, it is never going away.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really huge issue. I think a lot of people, well, you know, when you were talking about end-to-end encryption and the rest of it, I think a lot of people see the word encryption and say, I'm safe. I'm 100%.
You're not.
I'm
yeah,
all right.
You're not.
And you just said something important. You're not. And so really at the end of the day, David, what you're saying is don't do it to start with. Just don't.
Yeah.
Under
just
any
don't.
Circumstances. Oh, but it's so yeah. hard, you know, when a young girl especially is really, you know, she's got low self-confidence, maybe a low sense of, you know, self-esteem, and she really wants to be able to put it out there. Oh, God, this is why I think what you did with your daughter is so important, and that is parents, at the end of the day, it's their responsibility to be able to communicate this to their children and to really, at the end of the day, also watch over what they're doing. I mean, I don't know what the legal beagle is when, you know, someone's young son, for instance, who's, you know, under the age of 18, has gone ahead and plastered the internet with pictures of a young girl. Outside of something that's, I mean, I'm sure this borders on, issues with pornography and not great pictures that anyone should be sharing at all that could be interpreted as, really abusing someone else's, identity. Where does all that, you know, come into this? Because it's more than just one person talking to another and sexting and, you know, doing this one relationship. Where does it start turning into something that is really bad, dark?
Well, I mean, I think it's just dark from the beginning when people start sharing this type of information. But there are criminal and civil penalties for this, and it depends on where you live. Every state's different. There are these types of protections out there, but to be honest, it's happening so much and so often that I don't think, you know, they're probably going to get away with it, is I guess my statement. So the way to really protect this is to stop it from happening. And one of the things my sheriff friend told me is that this is happening with girls in junior high school age. It's not something
yes.
that happens in your 20s. So you need to get to them early and really impress upon them how bad this is for them. Because, you know, like you were saying earlier, when you're a young kid, you just don't think. And the parents really need to push it. The other things parents can do is some kind of, there is monitoring software available. There
like
are
what?
Ways to, well, you know, it depends on what platform you're on. There's just so many different ones. In fact, maybe we could do that as a different segment for you one day, and I could research and give you options on all of them. But there are ways that you can do it. You can hopefully lock down your domain at your house so the internet doesn't give you the whole internet. And there's also things you can do with phones where you can limit, you know, the hours they use it and different things. Like, for instance, the Apple software does have parental controls built in. But there, you can go even farther on that if you'd like. And maybe we'll save that for another one, Dr. P, because it is quite actually a long subject, and I'm not.
I think it's just really super important for people to know that there are those parental controls out there, because I'm sure that a lot of parents, you know how they're doing it. They're running around. They barely, you know, schedule, you know, breathing because they're working. They're having to, you know, manage their children, and there's just a lot on the plate. It's nice to know that tech is there to also help you. It's not just there to kind of hinder things here. But, you know, you mentioned something that was really important, and that is that so much of this is junior high type level. If you look at the time in a young woman's body, when she's developing, that's exactly when she's developing. And this is when she's having a lot of self-doubt about what's happening with her body. And this is when you start having a lot of disordered eating, when you have a lot of problems with depression about body image and anxiety, especially. Anxiety is probably the predominant mood there. And so there's a real need to push to prove oneself. And I think that the sexting is part experimentation. You're starting to do something you've never done before. You're pushing envelopes. And this is also where I think it's important that parents lay down boundaries, that it's perfectly fine to, you know, to communicate by text by saying, yes, I'll meet you over at, you know, the mall at 6 o'clock. There's nothing wrong with that. But to send pictures, provocative pictures, to be able to define what provocative is. And, you know, between you and me, David, I don't know, you're a parent, you know, it's just, it's crazy out there. I mean, the way the young women are dressing, so that, you know, now we have to redefine what provocative is, because I don't know, didn't look like that when I was growing up, and where there's a lot of skin sharing that I just, you know, I find it to be way over the top. But young people now have redefined normal for themselves, and they see this as completely fine, and sharing pictures like that on social media and other platforms is just sort of the way it goes. And so there's a blurring of lines there. And then next thing you know, it's an easy slippery slope to really getting into sexting. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, there's a famous Supreme Court decision, Jack Bullis versus Ohio, where Justice Potter Stewart said, "I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it." And that's really way I've kind of taken the same approach with my daughters. I have two daughters. And when they got old enough to have smartphones, I said, okay, this is a privilege and not a right. And, you know, we are going to have tracking turned on so we know where you're at in case there's ever a problem. And we are going to reserve the right to review what you're doing with this. And if we see anything on here that we think is inappropriate, you will no longer have the right. And I also want my kids to feel like I'm not snooping on them all the time. I would only look at it if they knew I was looking at it. But, and I, unfortunately, I think I impressed upon them at the beginning how big of a deal it is that they've stood clear. But I think as parents and grandparents, we really need to kind of have that serious conversation with these kids. And right around, you know, the first time they're going to get a smartphone, it's usually around middle school age. And young girls in particular, I think, are vulnerable because for so many reasons.
A lot of the reasons we've already talked about. You know, this also brings us to another very interesting point that I know that you've talked about a lot in your own podcast as a tech expert. And that is, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel as though technology occurred almost overnight. And it didn't come with a handbook. It didn't say, yo, this is the way you're supposed to use this. There are limits and boundaries, right? You're not supposed to be sleeping with your smartphone. That's like, no, don't do that. And you're not supposed to be obsessed with it and almost addicted to it. And I feel like there were no limits and boundaries established from the beginning, and now we're doing a lot of backpedaling. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and it's particularly with children. I mean, it's really hard for them to set limits and boundaries. And these things, I mean, adults get addicted to this technology. Can you only imagine what a trip it is for kids?
Yeah, yeah. The novelty, the whiz-bang, all the games. Look at Pokemon Go. I mean, just please, right? you know, you have people banging into trees out there, you know, not watching where they're walking across the street. They're getting absorbed in a brand new universe. There's just all of the bells and whistles, let alone, you know, the games and back and forth, Candy Crush and the rest of it. There's no end to it. And where does a parent really learn how to put some kind of a boundary on this, David?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good resources on the internet, but what I would say to parents and grandparents is you need to embrace this. Your children are figuring it out very quickly, and that's just the way of the world. But Pokemon Go is a great example. When it came out, everybody went crazy. My youngest daughter, who's 14, said she wanted to play Pokemon Go. So I said, great. So I signed up for an account with her. And now we'll be sitting in our house doing nothing, and she'll say, let's go to the park and go on a walk and catch Pokemon together. And so it's a great experience for us. We get out, we walk around, we talk about things. You can use this as a way to connect with your children, too. But so don't be afraid of it. But if the kids see that you understand it and are at least paying attention, I think that's going to go a long way to keeping them from doing anything that's going to get them in trouble.
I think that what your point is incredibly well taken, and that is embrace it. For crying out loud, I mean, come on, you know, we can't go backwards. That's never going to happen. Instead, embrace it. You may not be as facile as they are, you know, with a lot of the apps and back and forth, but to at least let them understand that you get it, that it's an integral piece of their life, that it's not going away. If anything, it's morphing into all kinds of interesting things out there. Lord knows where it's going to go because the tech world's changing, you know, nanosecond by nanosecond. Did you ever see that movie, Her? The
yes.
One with,
yes,
you saw that one. And for, I find it interesting, it's the Her on the Her podcast. But, you know, if you, I highly recommend anyone just sort of, you know, hit Netflix or whatever and look at it. And it was about what was supposed to be some near future event occurring in Los Angeles. And quite frankly, I didn't see it as future at all. I don't know about you. I thought it was like today, where everybody's staring into a smartphone as they walk down the street. No one's really making eye contact. Interrelationships really don't happen. And if they do, they're very strained and awkward and strange. And then there's that, what was it called? It's an operating system kind of thing that was going to become the assistant to the main character. And it's almost like Alexa with Amazon, where you talk to it and it helps you start getting organized, and it talks, it starts really developing a relationship with you. And this guy literally fell in love with this piece of technology, fell in love, and the technology eventually blew him off and went on and continued to grow and grow. And he was left with sitting on, you know, a rooftop with a young woman who has always wanted to have a relationship with him. And now he was going to have to become human again. And I never forgot that last, you know, scene where, you know, it was all about that relationship. Well, when you said you were walking with your daughter, you know, in the park, and tech was a piece of the action, but it was a very friendly and user-friendly piece of the action. It was a tool to be able to strengthen a relationship. I'm just thinking to myself, I wish to heck that everyone out there could learn to find that type of balance. I just don't see it happening a lot. I see it just way swaying over to too much tech with very little balance. So we need a solution here, David. What are we going to do?
I think you just have to be mindful about it, like so much in life. It's moderation and, you know, in terms of your kids, trying to instill that in them and making sure they do more than look at that little screen all the time. The sexting thing, one of the things I would tell people is if you feel any desire to do that, please keep it subtle. I mean, that's one way. Like, put something on there that if it was on the front page of the New York Times, you might blush a little bit, but it wouldn't ruin your life. And
I love it.
And, you know, I think that's sexier anyway, to tell you the truth. But the,
it is too.
And the other thing is, in the name of all that is holy, just don't send pictures and video. Just don't do it. You know, even if you feel like you can't help yourself, you're going to send some words. Do not send pictures and video. I guarantee you, you will hate it someday. And ex-husbands and ex-boyfriends can be true jackasses. So just don't give them that ammunition to use against you someday.
I know. We've heard about these revenge things.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is, you know, you may be listening to this and may have already, you know, sent pictures and feel like, wait a second, what do I do? You're not going to do anything about getting it off the servers that they were on whenever you put it on the internet. But the person that's most likely to hurt you with that is the person you sent it to. So if somebody's in your life and has pictures of you like that, find an excuse to get his phone and go delete them. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, be a spy. I hear it. You know,
Well, as a last point, just recently, that wonderful comedian, Leslie, who was in Ghostbusters, who I absolutely adore. She's fabulous, and she is so well-liked. And she has some, you know, she's had some real crazy people coming after her. I guess they call them the internet trolls. And all over her website and, you know, on her social media, they had apparently hacked into her iCloud account and got naked pictures of her and some other stuff and back and forth. Now the good news is all of that was wiped out, and you know, her followers have all but crushed the you know, the horrible trolls. But you know, again, another reminder that whatever you put out there, you know, that sucker is permanent. Someone may hack into it. Hacking is going on all the time. And so don't give them any grist for their mill. Just don't do it. And I think, David, you said it best. Just don't do it in the first place. And quite frankly, you know, being subtle is 50 times sexier. We like that a lot. David, you're so right. Oh, man, this has been such a fantastic segment. So we've been talking about sexting and how to stay out of trouble, basically practicing safe internet use and safe smartphone use and all the rest of it. So just don't do it in the first place, please. No. Did you hear me? And parents, sit down and talk to your kids. You got to have boundaries. They have to understand the consequences of their actions, because whatever happens is permanent. Please, please, please. You heard it from David Sparks, our go-to geek and tech expert. Thanks so much for being on the Her podcast once again. Remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, can you leave a review as well? Hey, just remember, my mother reads these things. And listen, if you want to learn more about David's wonderful work, go to MacSparky.com. That's M-A-C, Sparky with a Y.com, or MacPowerUsers.com to hear more from David Sparks. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you could also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.